Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. I'm going to share today about my journey with leaving androgyny to embrace femininity or learning to embrace femininity. It is an ongoing journey for me. I can continue to grow in many, many areas, but I was thinking back to a defining moment for me when everything just clicked. When Scott and I entered our marriage, we were pretty egalitarian. That's just the church culture that we were in. And so that's how we entered our marriage. And that was 2016 when we got married. And we've always, I think we just complement each other in a lot of ways. And so in that way, our marriage wasn't as hard as it could be. But I think in other ways, it wasn't as smooth sailing as it could be either, because we were not in our biblical gender roles. And then 2020 happened. We were in South Africa and we got stuck there. So we were planning on going January to April. My brother had come to visit us. He was there with us for a week. He got out of the country like right when things were ramping up. And then I get a text from my mom saying, Trump just said that everyone needs to get back into the country immediately or prepare to be where you are indefinitely. And because of the time change, it was probably around 10 p.m. when I got that text. And so I went into a panic of what are we gonna do? We're gonna be stuck here. What does indefinitely even mean? And Scott's like, we can't do anything about this right now. Let's go to sleep and we will call the airlines in the morning. And if we can get a flight, then we'll know we're supposed to leave. If we can't, then we'll stay. So we woke up the next morning, called all the airlines, and every single one was the same thing of, we have this many flights leaving the country, they're all full, you're not on it. Too bad. So we resolved that this was the Lord directing our steps. It ended up being a huge blessing. We got to help Scott's family with the work around the ranch and help his mom with the horses, and it was just a huge blessing that we got to stay there. I had never experienced winter in South Africa, and I got to experience winter there and be with Scott's family, and we really had an amazing time there. Now, also, when I go back to what I'm talking about of embracing our biblical femininity, it was during this season that I realized one, homemaking is not encouraged. And so that's when I actually changed my Instagram handle to Home with Kelly because I was like, I want the stuff that I share to be about embracing the home. And then I stumbled across Lori Alexander, and Scott had already heard of Lori Alexander somehow, and so he had known about her. But then I came across her and I was like, wow, her stuff just makes sense to me. Now, I don't agree with everything Lori Alexander shares, but I think a lot of what she shares is a huge blessing. It's very countercultural. I think God uses everyone in different ways, and he totally used her to encourage me. She was sharing about the blessing of submitting to your husband, about being a submissive wife, about respecting your husband, the blessing of taking care of the home. And all of these things just made sense to me. I'm like, this makes so much sense to me. And this also makes so much sense to me why it's a struggle for me because my adult life, college and onward, everything culture teaches is the opposite of this. So I'm having to undo all of this feminist independence brainwashing that women can do anything men can do. There's really no difference in us besides how God created our bodies. But for the most part, men and women are the same in our function. We're the same in how we outwork our Christianity. But then reading Lori Alexander's posts, it clicked for me of, wait a second. Actually, men and women are very different. And because God made us uniquely different, we will be working out our Christianity in different ways. And that had never, like, thoughtfully occurred to me. I can look back and see examples of people in my life all growing up. I grew up in a very healthy, happy home, where that was modeled by my parents. But as far as leaving the home and then going out and in the church communities that we were in, functionally, in those communities, men and women were basically the same. How we outworked our Christianity was the same. And so having this revelation of, wait a second, my role is different from Scott's. And it was in that season, for the first time, Titus 2 actually clicked for me of, okay, the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be keepers of the home, to be pure, virtuous, kind. That is a blueprint for how the Holy Spirit designed me to walk out my Christianity. If I don't know what I'm doing, then go back to Titus 2 of what the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. So that's when it all clicked for me in 2020. Now, it's one thing having it click for you. It's another thing then learning to walk it out. But I will say that the moment that it clicked to me that our roles and how we work out our roles and to the glory of God is going to be different, there has been a peace in our marriage ever since. That doesn't mean that we don't have our differences and things. That doesn't mean that situations don't come up where we disagree. I'm not saying that all of a sudden our whole marriage was perfect when this clicked. I'm not saying that at all. But I can see how having that alignment of our roles and purposes as husband and wife being uniquely different, it has blessed our marriage in ways that we can look back before 2020 and see, okay, a lot of our differences or disconnect was because we weren't embracing how God made us to be. And it's interesting now to look back and see when things shifted for me. Because for me, looking back, I can see how I was raised to be very feminine. I was ready for marriage when I was 18 or 19. When I went to college, that was my expectation, was to meet my husband. That was my plan. I thought that's what was gonna happen. I didn't really know how to do that. I was so nervous around guys that I liked that I know my face turned 10 shades of red when a guy who I was interested in talked to me and I didn't know how to talk to them. So there was a lot of struggles on the practical level, but my heart was very sincere of, I want to be married, I want to be a mom. That was my intention. So that was the first college that I went to. And then halfway through my sophomore year, I transferred to a Christian college. It was Asbury College, now it's Asbury University. I transferred there, and from that moment on, I can start to see how I started becoming more and more androgynous. I started leaving the natural feminine way that God made me, and I started becoming more like a man. That's androgyny, is there is no difference between male or female. And I can see that during my time at Asbury, not only from outer appearances, because I can look back and see pictures of how I dressed was even more masculine. I started wearing Shane Claiborne style clothes, like these big baggy khakis and these Mexican drug rugs, and my mannerisms even became more masculine, my intentions with my life. So I started getting wrapped up, instead of wanting to be married and have children, I think because of being at this Christian university, there was this mocking of girls going to college to get their MRS degree. Like, that was mocked of, yeah, girls just come to Asbury to get their MRS degree. And no girl wants to be mocked. That's like not in our feminine nature, is being mocked. And so to avoid being mocked, you avoid the thing that you would be mocked of. And so for me, it's like, well, then what is my purpose if I'm not supposed to be getting married? And so very much at this Christian university, their focus was, well, what is your mission? What did God put it on your heart to do? And so for me, it's like, okay, well, what is my mission? What if God doesn't call me to get married? What am I gonna be doing? So I became very mission focused, which is very masculine. That's a very masculine thing, to be mission oriented. And so I ended up having these thoughts of, I might not ever get married, and I'm gonna be single for the Lord. All the while, I still very much liked guys. I was very interested in guys. If a guy asked me out that I liked, I probably would have pursued that. But because I was giving off this masculine energy of, I don't need a man, I'm independent, I have the Lord, I have Jesus, Jesus is my husband, I don't need a man, a guy will only distract me from Jesus. That was my mindset. And I think when you enter that mindset of, guys are a distraction, my focus is only on Jesus, of course guys are not going to be interested in pursuing you because you are not radiating femininity, receptivity, interest. Instead, it's like, I actually had a guy. One of my friend's boyfriends actually said to me, Kelly, it's going to take a bull of a guy to pursue you. And I was so offended by him saying that to me because I was thinking, no, the guy that God has for me, if I get married, will pursue me. God will make a guy pursue me. Not really realizing what he was saying was, you need to be a little bit softer, a little bit more open, a little bit more receptive to guys' interest in you. Instead, I was offended by what he said, and it made me even more hard and masculine and set in my ways of, well, like, then I don't need a man. If a guy isn't bold enough to pursue me, then I don't need a man. And then I graduated college. The churches that I was in during my early 20s was very evangelical focused. And praise God, there is definitely a place for evangelism. It's important that people know Jesus. From my experience, I look back and I see that there was such a heavy focus on evangelism that there was zero focus on helping young people get married, teaching the younger women Titus 2, that love your husbands, love your children, be a keeper of the home. These are the virtues that you should have. Let's teach you these things. That was never mentioned. I'm not even sure I knew Titus 2 existed until Lori Alexander's stuff, which is embarrassing to say, but that was never what was talked on. Instead, it was, you need to go and put yourself in the riskiest of situations because that is when the Holy Spirit is going to show up. Do I believe that? Yes, I believe that the Holy Spirit will show up in very risky situations. I have been there. I have seen it. I have seen the Lord encounter people in ways that I could never imagine. And I praise God for all of those things. I know that God wastes no season, and I know that He used me in that season for His glory because I was sincere. I was doing all of these things with the purest heart because I wanted to please the Lord. I wanted to live a life pleasing to God. And so for me, because of the church leadership in my life during that season, all that I knew that that looked like to please God was to go on college campuses and pray for people, pray for the young kids, go to the parking lots of brothels or strip clubs and pray for the women in there, pray for the men in there, that they will have an encounter from the Holy Spirit or that the fear of the Lord will come upon them and that they will leave. And again, I think all of those things are good. It is good for us to be praying for those things. The problem that I have is that that was held in the highest regard. And nobody talked about being a wife. Nobody talked about the importance of being a mom. Or you're single, it would be good for you to get married so that way you can do these things with your husband. That way you have a male protector with you. I don't know how many times my sister and I, we would go out on our own and do these things by ourselves. And again, God protected us every time. I look back and I think, God, you are our Father God and you protected us in very dangerous situations. And I also think a better way would have been to have gotten married and do these things with our husband if that is what our husband's mission and purpose is. But there was no focus on getting married. There was no focus in helping us find husbands or in even helping us with the, I mean, there was plenty of guys in the group that we were in. We were part of a group. Well, there was like two different single groups that we were a part of at some point, and both were fairly large groups. And I mean, I look back at the one and praise God, it was called a singles group. And I'm like, that is what it should have been called. This is a pot of people that are ready and available for marriage. That was the second one that we went to. And praise God, I know great marriages that came from that group. But the first group that we were part of, the more outreach-minded, that was not the focus at all. The root problem of this type of culture within certain church groups is that men and women become completely androgynous. A woman can do anything that a man can do, including getting on a stage and preaching, and a man can do anything a woman can do. There was no differences in gender, and that became very normalized. And then the problem that happens when single girls are so hyper-focused on their mission, their purpose, what are they going to be doing, whether it be a missionary, a career, whatever it may be, that when and if they get married, and I think it could go either way, because I think sometimes they don't even end up getting married because no guy will measure up to their expectations, and so they have this super high expectation of marriage. Then they get older and older and older, and they have priced themselves out of the market because they think they can get better than what they actually can get because they have such a high view of themselves, or they are in a position of such authority that a guy who would pursue them now may not because they are in an authority position over them. So you have the if she gets married situation, and then you have the when she gets married situation. She now has to learn to adapt to her husband's mission. That is part of being a biblical wife, a godly woman. The problem with hyper-focusing on single girls and what their mission is that when they finally do get married, they've been so set on their mission that if their husband doesn't come along with their mission, then they end up resenting their husband. And you see this a lot in, again, some different church cultures. You can see where it is the woman that is the head of the household. It is the woman who is the leader, and the husband is the helpmeet. The husband is the beautiful one. And then there comes discontent in the marriage. There comes friction. There comes resentment. And all of these things because you have a vision, your husband has a vision, and then you have two visions, a die vision in your marriage, and that will never end up in a wholesome marriage. And I can see how when we got married, I very much still had this missionary mindset. And I thought, we're going to be missionaries in South Africa. So when we had to go through his immigration process, that meant we had to stay in America. And so we had to find work in America, make things work. And I look back at our marriage, and in a lot of ways, I think we entered into it in not the greatest of ways, because when we got married, Scott wasn't even allowed to work. He wasn't even allowed to earn an income because of the immigration process. We look back and we think, if we were to advise other people in our situation, there are ways around him not making money in his name and being able to work for me if we opened up a business in my name. If we had started a YouTube channel back then under my name, there are things that you can be doing. We just had no clue. And honestly, we were so afraid of doing something wrong. We just wanted to do everything right so that way he got his green card and all was fine and all was smooth. And we wanted to be above reproach. And I think that God totally blessed that our immigration process. It took a long time, but knowing other people, it did go faster than other stories that I've heard. We started our process November of 2016 is when we put in our application, and by the next May or June, he got his work visa. So it wasn't terribly long, but in our mind, we were going to get married and immediately go back to South Africa. That was delayed because by the time he got his work visa, we then had to end up saving up money, paying off credit card debt. And then we ended up going to South Africa in 2018. So during that waiting time of wanting to go back to South Africa, needing to save up money, we were still going to the same church that we got married in. But there were certain things that started to raise a flag for us. So there was one Sunday where a girl around our age got up to preach, and her sermon was directly to the men of the church, and she wanted at the end for the men to stand up and for her to, I don't know if it was to make a declaration over them or to make a call to action for or something. And Scott didn't stand up, and we looked at each other, and afterwards, we left the service and we were like, something was not right about that. And then another situation came up. There was a female who was very loud, obnoxious, leading in a different way. And so we brought that up to the leadership and we immediately got shut down, like to the point where we weren't even allowed to question things. And then we started bringing up conversations to friends about women preachers, and that got shut down very quickly. And so we were like, okay, something feels off and we don't know what it is. So that was the end of 2017, 2018. We started going on this journey of what does the Bible actually say about these things? And it's been a journey ever since. We have read a great book on this if you want more information on this topic. It's by David Pawson. I think I'm saying his name right. And it's called Leadership is Male. And it's a great book. He breaks down all of the arguments and questions about women preachers, and it's actually very empowering to women, because I think a lot of times what gets upsetting when this gets talked about is that we are saying women can't do anything. But what actually, when you learn to embrace your femininity, you realize there's actually so much that God has commanded us to do that we don't have time to try to be men. We should not be spending our energy in trying to be men when God has given us as women something to do that only we can do, that men cannot do. Giving birth to children. Men cannot do that. Only women can do that. And God has given us a time frame in our life to be able to be fruitful and multiply, and to not waste that time frame on something else that men could be doing when God made your body to bring life into the world. And then God made you to be the nurturer, to take care of those children and to take care of your household, to bring food for your family. This goes back to the Proverbs 31 woman and all of the amazing things that she did. Being a woman and embracing biblical femininity isn't putting limits on us. It's actually taking us out of the box that culture has put us in and saying there are so many things that we can be doing with the work of our hands. And again, that was where the blessing of, for me, understanding the home economy came in play, was when Scott asked me to quit my job in the middle of 2018, and I had no concept for not working a job if I do not have children. And so it was really hard for me to understand that actually I can be a blessing to my husband right now. I can learn to be his helpmeet even before the Lord blesses us with children, because that is who God made me to be. God didn't make me to be someone else's work wife at a job outside of the home. God made me to be my husband's helper. So how can I help my husband with the best of my abilities, because I am the only woman on this earth that's going to be a helper to my husband? God has given me this unique assignment that nobody else can replace, and I take that as an honor, as a privilege, that God saw me fit to be Scott's wife. And so I want to be the best wife that I can be to the glory of God for my husband. I want to be his helper. I want to be a good wife to him. And Lord willing, I want to be a good mother to our children someday. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to be a good keeper of our home and stewarding our household well. For me, it always goes back to Titus 2. It is always so helpful. And so when I quit my job in 2018 to come home, that was a new start to a journey of realizing there are things that only I can do within our household. What are the things that I can do with the work of my hands? And then that's why when we were stuck in South Africa during 2020, to bring it full circle, hearing Lori Alexander talk about the things that she was talking about, I was already doing a lot of those things. I just didn't have language for it. I didn't have words for it. I knew I was being a helpmeet, because when Scott wanted me to quit my job, he said, "You're going to be my helper." And again, I've said this many times, but I had never known anyone quit their job to be their husband's helpmeet before having children. So I didn't have a vision for that. I didn't have a concept for that. I was pretty much just winging it. And praise the Lord for Scott and his always encouragement to me when I just, again, the world doesn't celebrate these things. So I praise God for having a bold husband who does celebrate me being his wife, who does celebrate me being his helper and being a keeper of the home, because the world's not going to celebrate that. And from our experience, there are a lot of churches who don't celebrate that. And praise God, there are a lot of churches who do celebrate that. That has been a huge blessing for us. When we moved, that was a priority for us, was finding a church where the culture celebrates women being their husband's helper. And so there are churches out there that do exist. There are people out there that do celebrate this. You just have to look for them. And a lot of times, it sounds stereotypical, but a lot of times if you see someone with a big family, they very well could be a part of a church that is celebrating having children, being a keeper of the home. So one of you actually had left a testimony that you saw a large family at the grocery store and you had asked them where they go to church, and that's how you found the church that you were a part of. And that kind of goes into the testimony of how we found our church. Was not only was it the closest one to our house, but when we looked at their page, we saw that they didn't close down for all the 2020 stuff, and then we saw that the elders had many children. And so we were like, okay, this is where we're gonna go. There are churches out there that do honor women are different from men, men are different from women, how we work out our Christianity is uniquely different, and it's good. It is good that we are unique in how God made us. It is not good that man and woman should be one and the same, androgynous, a man can do anything a woman can do anything a man can do. Unfortunately, I think when you talk about these things of biblical gender roles or embracing femininity, there is a lot of straw men that come to this. There's a lot of extreme mindsets to where it's like, your husband can't even do dishes. And that's not what I'm saying. I am so grateful for Scott. He helps me with dishes. A lot of times if I'm making dinner, he'll come over and he will wash the dishes. Or after we eat, I'm putting the food away, packing it up, organizing the fridge, and he'll start washing the dishes. So he helps me all the time with things around the house. We water the garden together every morning. He's always helping out in the garden. We do so much together, but we know our roles. We know who we are in our marriage. And because of that, there is peace in our marriage. I take care of the home. Yes, Scott helps, and he does things around the house too when needed. And yes, I make a tiny bit of income from different things that I do, but making an income is not my priority. That does not take me away from being Scott's helper or from taking care of our home. Bringing in an income, doing a YouTube channel, that is an overflow of me having things in sync around the house or me helping my husband. There are things with Scott's job that he asks me to help him with, and I'm happy to help him with those things because I think it's an honor. It's an honor for me to be able to help with Scott's work, and it's fun for me to be able to do those things. Just like Lori Alexander's story really blessed me, my prayer is that me sharing my testimony might bring about some light bulbs and encourage you in your journey of embracing femininity, leaving androgyny, and even recognizing that for the younger generation, encouraging the younger girls that it's good to be a wife, it's good to be a mom. Only you can do those things. It's a blessing to do those things. And with that, I do want to add, because Scott and I did a video which will complement this video, so I'll link it below, but it's called Androgyny in the Church or something like that. I'll link it below. But in that video, I had said that I do look back at my early 20s with sadness because it was so focused on going out and praying for people and ministering to people that the focus was never on getting married and having children. And there is a time frame in our life to have children. And so that not being encouraged could be detrimental to people in whether or not they get married and whether or not they ever have children. And someone commented on that video saying, I think it's really sad that you regret praying for people. Like, what a terrible thing. And I never said that I regret praying for people. God doesn't waste anything. He uses everything. He used me in that season because my heart was after him and I was sincere in pursuing the Lord. I think God blessed that time. But I can look back and be honest in reflection of my life and see that there was a more excellent way. There is a better way. The better way would have been to encourage or to help or to share on how to go back to Titus 2, love your husband, how to love your children, how to be a keeper of the home. That would be the better way. And yes, can you still pray for people while doing all of those things? 1000%. We can pray for people going about our daily life, our lifestyle. There are things that we can do that is still a blessing and an honor to the Lord. For me, that was the only thing. That was the prime focus. Everything else was on the back seat to going out and praying for people. And oftentimes that meant going in dangerous situations to pray for people. And I will say, I don't think that that is helping a woman embrace her femininity is by putting her in a dangerous position where she has to protect herself. I think that that is a place where wisdom would come in. The wise thing to do would be to put men in that situation to battle, to do those hard things. And so I know that there's pushback to a lot of the things that I'm saying, but this is my story, and I'm so grateful for how the Holy Spirit has been so faithful in directing our steps and helping us, and it's good to embrace who God made us to be. And so I want to finish this video by reading in Genesis. So it's Genesis 2, starting at verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. God made man, and God made woman. Both are good, and both are unique, and it's good for us to embrace the way that God made us, especially in a culture where it's trying to make men and women as androgynous as possible. In a way that we can go against that cultural societal flow is by embracing the way that God made us to be. So I hope that this video has encouraged you, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.